Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
As we all wait for governors and mayors to say it's time to open things up again, our next guest says they're not the ones with the power. We are. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. His article is called "It's the Pandemic, Stupid." Hi, Derek.
Hey, Jeremy.
Well, what do you mean when you say it's the pandemic, stupid?
So I think there's this model that a lot of people have in their heads, that Americans are staying home because the government told them to. But it's actually the exact opposite. Across the country, it was the government that followed the public. In every single state, most of the increase in people staying at home actually happened before the governors issued their stay-at-home order. And that's because in the days before all these state lockdowns started, the public was hit with all this terrifying news about the virus. You had the Dow plunging, the Italy lockdown, the NBA canceled its season, Tom Hanks was diagnosed with COVID. Mm-hmm. And so the American lockdown was not state-issued. It was information-based, and the states followed the public.
And there's actually some research that bears this out. You point to a team of economists at Harvard. What did they find?
Right. So the Opportunity Insights team based at Harvard University used this data from a bunch of different private businesses like credit card processors and payroll firms. And they built this really extraordinary database of Americans' spending behavior and employment and a bunch of other economic factors. And this essentially allowed them to get a kind of daily temperature read on the U.S. economy. And what their data shows going back to March is just what I said, that this really stark decline in economic activity happened in the middle of March before most of these states were actually shut down. And I think this is really important because it shows that the shutdowns are not a political phenomenon. It's not like governors or the president have this light switch that they can flip on and off. This is a biological phenomenon. And so that's why it is, in fact, the pandemic, stupid, that's causing this terrible crisis that we're seeing across the country.
You know, another aspect of this that I think is worth pointing out is that even if businesses were to reopen, if schools don't reopen, then parents may not be able to go back to work, which will hold up the economic recovery even more.
That's exactly the point that I think most people should take away from these economic conclusions. The public is going to have a mind of its own. You're going to see some people in some states defy lockdowns and stay-at-home orders, and they're going to go out and do whatever they want. And then in other states, like maybe Georgia and some other states in the South, you could see a couple businesses open their doors, but a lot of people not actually come back to those businesses and shop there or eat there or dine there. I just think it's really important to remember when we look at the economic devastation that this pandemic has caused for the U.S., it's not as if that devastation was the result of politicians flipping the switch in the economy. The devastation was biological in nature. It's people who are terrified of getting sick or getting their loved ones and friends sick. In order to fix this, you need a biological solution. You need to persuade people that there is a plan to make sure that they will stay safe if they resume the economic activity they were participating in February.
Which means that the job for politicians at this point is basically to have the data to back it up when they try to coax people out of their lockdowns at home and say, come back out into the economy again.
That's exactly right. I'm seeing a lot of states that are, quote unquote, reopening their economies even as the number of daily cases is increasing there. I think that's a recipe for disaster. I think that's a recipe for reopening. These businesses then realize that they aren't making enough business, which means that they might have to shut down again and then reopen again and then shut down again. That's going to be a really, really difficult economic recovery where we're never going to see anything resembling a U-shaped recovery where we bounce right back up. It's going to be like a very long L where you have a bunch of false starts. I think we need to focus really, really seriously in coming up with a national solution, both on antivirals and vaccines, but also on things like lockdowns to make people feel comfortable that the state has a hold on the virus, and then the economic recovery can follow suit.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Derek, thanks as always.
Thank you.
And as we close out this hour, we want to take a minute to mark the passing of comedian Jerry Stiller. His death was announced today by his son, actor-director Ben Stiller. With his late wife, Ann Mira, Jerry Stiller formed the comic duo Stiller and Mira, appearing in radio commercials, nightclubs, and films in the 1960s and 70s. He was later known for his roles on the TV shows The King of Queens and, of course, Seinfeld. Here he is celebrating the holiday he made famous, Festivus, with what he called the airing of grievances.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it. You, Kroger, my son tells me your company stinks.
Oh, God.
What? We'll get yours in a minute. Kroger, you couldn't smooth a silk sheet if you had a hot date with a babe. I lost my train of thought.
Jerry Stiller died of natural causes at the age of 92. And on a personal note, when I was a young producer at an NPR station for Cape Cod, Martha's Vineyard, and Nantucket, we were in the middle of one of our first pledge drives, begging for donations on the air. And who called in to support the station but Jerry Stiller? So thank you, Jerry Stiller, for supporting public radio and, more importantly, for all of the laughs. Here and Out is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Tanya Mosley. This is Here and Now.